Star Market Celtics today continues from Oklahoma City inside a stone room, clearly acoustically, but we're going to fight through it anyway. Our conversation with the head coach, no matter how bad it sounds, is brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas, download the Star Market mobile app, or visit starmarket.com. I have struggled at times for years with my role here because a lot of team announcers, they tend to shrink away from the tough stuff. You know, I've always prided myself on asking whatever needs to be asked, the tough questions. And if you dodge something, in my view, from the media, then it's my job to follow up, in my view, and ask it. So since nobody stood there and followed
up.
So
predictable.
Nobody. And nevertheless, it's going to happen anyway.
Right.
Since nobody followed up and nobody pressured you, who is your favorite child?
I answered that. Love them both.
Yes, but you realize the best answer would have been whichever one didn't try to put me on the spot.
I want to know who let those four kids have a seat in the front row. She's got guts. She just walks in the room, raises her hand. I like that about her. She's a fun one.
I seem to remember 3 years ago you instigating someone who you admire and respect and revere, you instigating their son while he was on the air live on TV to try to disrupt a live interview. So sometimes,
if I remember correctly, it was successful.
It was. It went viral. Yeah, I was the BBC dad for a couple.
Hey, why did you say that it's not good to eat popcorn before a?
Because it can get caught in your throat. And now, granted, you've got some breaks in between while I'm talking. I have to call a game, and you learn very quickly in my line of work. Popcorn is not the ideal thing to try to scarf during a commercial break or whatever, because it will get caught in there. It'll get stuck in your teeth. It's just not a.
What do you guys eat during breaks?
Are you talking about me or Max? Because there's two.
I guess I'm really asking about. What do you and Max do during breaks? Are you like surfing Twitter? Are you, just going, is Max running to get something to eat? What's the deal?
Well, this week I'm looking at Twitter to see how much you and I hate each other. That's what I was doing online. My gosh.
I mean, the national TV breaks, you've got to have time to go into the concourse and get something, right?
Sure. Well, we're back. Sooner. There's a very funny story about the time Max swore on the air because he didn't realize we were back and it was a nationally televised game and we were back on the air and he thought.
Are you guys on a delay?
No, I'm saying our breaks are our breaks, and if TNT does an extra 30 seconds, we are back, Max and I talking and filling that 30 seconds with just programming goodness and just quality, quality program.
Best stuff of the night.
Okay, well, you've successfully killed 3 minutes, so let me just cut right to this.
Three minutes is my upper tier of killing time.
You've done well.
We've done this in almost every one. I usually kill a minute or two.
This is good.
But let's ask questions about the trade and how much better Oklahoma City is playing and than everybody thought and all that stuff that everybody wants to go through.
I remember the day, hey, Brad Stevens is going to be the coach of the South. Okay, this will be good because he's such a nice guy and he's Indiana. He's not going to be whatever. And yet this has turned into this whole thing. So my question then, you can feel free to do whatever it is you do with it. Is the following. Has this team, in your view to this point, passed what I would abstractly call the next man up test? In that it seems to be a different combination of players, literally this last stretch, almost every night, and yet the compete level and almost the connectivity level seems high.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done a good job, but I just told Scal on the air, it's not like we've played unreal basketball. We've figured it out. We've found a way, and that's been it's been pretty much the case for the last few years. Our guys have done a good job when guys have been out almost the whole time. But we need everybody to be healthy to be the best version of ourselves. As we enter this really tough stretch coming up, it's good that we're starting to get some guys back. But it's very, very difficult to maintain that over the course of time if you don't start getting some of your higher volume players back.
I guess, doesn't it require a certain, we've talked individually about Shemmy being ready to play, not knowing, Brad being ready to play, not knowing on a given night, what Romeo did this week, that seems to be a trait pretty common throughout this group as far as just being ready.
You always have to be ready. I think that's the biggest thing. Those guys have done a really good job of that. I think our assistants have done a really good job, especially with a guy like Romeo. Joe Mazzulla works out with him every single day, long before the game starts, on every action he might guard, everything he might encounter in a game, so none of it's new. And he's done a great job of staying ready and being ready, and he played really well the last 2 days. Rob Williams must be working out in there. Can you hear him?
He sounds like he's almost ready to go, based on that.
He sounds pissed he's still not going.
All right, well,
yeah, he's ready. He's antsy, but we're looking forward to getting him back soon. But he's given some good screams in there. Is there a weight room right there?
Apparently there is, and if there isn't, maybe he just invented one.
You thought this was a soundproof box we were in.
I thought it was an awful-sounding box we were in. I didn't think it was hardly going to be soundproof. This has been a great story here. We're just talking about connectivity and being ready to play. This has been a team that has been, in addition to many other things, and being better, and yes, they've won more games, they're fun to watch, yeah. And boy, they've been a great fourth quarter team.
One of my favorite teams to watch in the league. Excellent fourth quarter team. They've got three guys that can beat you off the dribble. For us, you know, all of our switching and all the things that we normally do is really going to be tested. And then they've got those threats at the rim in Noel and Adams. And so excellent skill around the perimeter. All those guys get to the foul line. They're fourth in getting to the foul line in the league. They all have all the tricks. So if you put your arm out, Chris Paul draws a foul. You know, if you jump on a shot fake, Gilgeous Alexander draws a foul. Gallinari's been the best forward, not named LeBron, in the league for the last 10 years at drawing fouls. So this is a real test in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit before. When the trade happened with Westbrook and George going out, everybody just sees Westbrook, George. You don't think about Chris Paul's been really good his whole career, but the last few years has been really good. Gilgeous Alexander was one of the best rookies in the league. Gallinari's been a stud forever. Like, we probably all should have seen this coming a little bit more than we did.
And the one guy you didn't mention, it's interesting because in our continuing series of starting lineups don't matter, that combination when Schroeder comes out and plays with Gilgeous Alexander and with Chris Paul, that three-man combination's been about as good as any in the league.
It's nasty, and they can all drive right by you. And that's the thing that's so challenging. And I think we have to be great. We have to be great at knowing where the threat is. We have to be great with our body position. We can't let them reject screens. We can't let them get to where they want to go without being impeded. And we have to do all that without fouling. And that's the tough part.
As the head coach, we were just sitting here talking about Duke last night, and there's always college basketball on when I come see, when I have to do this in one of your various spectacular offices that I have set up for you here on the road. But something that did happen to college basketball, and I made a note of it to discuss today, and we haven't discussed it yet, but Bobby Knight went back to Assembly Hall yesterday for the first time in 20 years, something that a lot of us thought we would not live long enough to see. And I imagine for you that conjured up certain feelings and certain emotions just to see that.
Man, it was really special to see. When we were on the plane yesterday, I was paying attention to it online and then watched some of the highlights. And the reason it was so special is because that was basketball to me when I was growing up. And that's what kind of inspired me to love the game. And it was not only, you know, he was the representative of it all as the head coach, but there all those players that were standing out there with him. I mean, those were the IU teams of the 80s and early 90s that were the teams that I looked up to and the teams that, you know, we all talked about every single day. And so it was really special to see. I know, you know, special for Pat. I saw Randy Whitman's comments and, you know, Mike Woodson. I mean, you looked at they had Whitman, Woodson, and Isaiah Thomas are standing right next to him. That's on one team. That was three guys that were head coaches in the NBA. Really amazing when you think about it. So that was a cool moment for me. I was certainly paying attention to it.
Did you love those teams more than your kids?
First of all, no, I didn't. But I really, really liked those teams. And I didn't like – so I wasn't – I don't remember the 80, 81 team as well. I know all the names. I know them all now. But I remember the 87 team, like No Tomorrow. I remember the early 90s. And I remember being there all the time. But I love my kids more.
That's his story. He's sticking to it. That's the head coach, Celtics and Thunder, next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.